This episode is brought to you by Progressive. Most of you aren't just listening right now. You're driving, cleaning, and even exercising. But what if you could be saving money by switching to Progressive? Drivers who save by switching save nearly $750 on average. And auto customers qualify for an average of 7 discounts. Multitask right now. Quote today at Progressive.com. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. National average 12-month savings of $744 by new customers surveyed who saved with Progressive between June 2022 and May 2023. Potential savings will vary. Discounts not available in all states and situations.
Looking for a job is lonely. Endless searching, phone calls that go nowhere, applications that vanish into thin air. What if you could link with dozens of local companies who are hiring right now with just one connection? That's Express Employment Professionals. Find us at expresspros.com. One connection, endless opportunities, and no fees ever for job seekers. Express Employment Professionals. Expresspros.com.
Going up.
Prices keep going up these days. It feels like being on an elevator that only goes up.
Going up.
But not at Metro. We're pushing the down button.
Going down.
We've lowered prices. Get one line of 5G data for $40, period. That's 20% lower. And you get a free 5G phone when you bring your number. Only at Metro.
5-year guarantee on eligible plans. Exclusions apply. See website for details. Not available at Metro with T-Mobile in the past 6 months. Tax applies.
We knew going in there's going to be more transition on defense. And, you know, we just felt we needed to kind of add some free agent depth, which we did on the D-line. We added Joey Bosa, Michael Hoyt, Larry Ogunjobi. But then we looked at the depth of the draft. When we started in February, we felt like there was going to be a good number of D-linemen that we would have an opportunity at some point early in the draft. Not necessarily first round, which we got a corner, but the next two picks lined up for us to take D-linemen. And so we weren't going to turn away from it with the value that we had on our board.
Brandon Bean on with Pat McAfee. Bean is getting around. And that's not a bad thing. I hear he's doing Donahue tomorrow.
That's still on?
No.
No.
Phil Donahue has died.
Passed away.
I have some sad news for everyone.
Oh, boy.
Phil Donahue, no longer with us. That's not a thing tomorrow. That's not.
Okay.
What would be the actual show? What's next?
The View.
You go from us to One Bills Live, rank them.
The View.
The View.
Is that
McAfee,
still on?
The View.
Yeah.
Yeah. Or like Kimmel.
Sure. Yeah.
Or Ship Chasing. The guys from today were like, so what happened?
Right. Yeah. Right.
What did he say?
Right.
I saw it.
What happened actually?
Yeah.
I'm still not really all that sure what happened actually. I mean, mostly, I don't know. Like these things are, you know, it's a runaway train kind of thing. Like it gets interpreted in a certain way, and you know, we've all watched these sorts of things unfold, you know, on social media and in sports and in just pop culture in general, where like it's the way it's being consumed on a mass level is not exactly accurate to what exactly happened. Like it's being sort of misinterpreted to an extent. Like, yes, Brandon Bean yelled at the guys on our morning show for loving the idea of drafting wide receivers. But he reacted to something that like barely should have registered. And when in truth, they spent the most part of their show leading up to his appearance talking about the picks that he'd made and them being good ideas, understanding what they were doing. And like Bean was just waiting to come off the top rope mad about receivers because we've all talked about and they've talked, Jeremy's the wide receiver train. But it like was not happening on the show. Like the idea that the Bills draft was getting attacked is not true, but it's too late. Like there's no right, there's no changing that. That's how it's being reported. That's how the video tells that story. That he's mad at them, and you just assume that well they must be guilty. He's yelling at them, but it really didn't happen that way. But there's nothing you can do about it. So like that's all I have to say about that part of it right now. I don't know that I want to say anymore because you can't fight the tsunami. Like the tsunami's coming. It came. It wiped everything out. And here we are. We're just sort of left here.
As far as the station goes, there's a benefit to it, of course. Like, you get a lot of attention. No, it's not the point of any of it, but you do.
Right.
When the GM goes off on your station, even if it's not about you, you'll run with it. That's the things people who comment on this stuff just cannot seem to understand is baffling. But, you know, a lot of people get it. That's what any radio station would do.
Yeah.
And it doesn't matter whether you're at fault or you're not, because that's a judgment call anyway, and it's still something that people are interested in. So that's pretty basic stuff. What is ironic, like you said, is not just what they were saying or not saying before it happened, but like yesterday we're talking about it all day, and a couple of different times, one in particular later on in the show, somebody called up to say, well, who are they supposed to take? And, you know, fair question.
Yep.
I don't know. It was not last year's draft where if the Bills and their needs were different, like they weren't like so vacant at corner for one last year. But if the Bills passed on receiver at, what was it originally, 26, eventually 33, and picked defense then.
28, but yeah.
28?
Yep.
28 to 32 to 33. Okay, if they had done this last year with all those receiver options, you know, including Coleman, including Worthy at the time, including Ladd McConkey and more, if they had done that, that's different than doing it here. And plus they have Coleman, and they didn't last year. So their needs were a little bit, well, definitely were different overall team-wise, and wide receiver, they were not as short, I guess I would want to say. And the draft was not as rich. Had Matthew Golden fallen, had Ibuka fallen, had Burden had a little bit more hype and people weren't poking holes in him, but instead sort of focused on his talent, then they have something more if the Bills pick cornerback at 30, but they still with that needed a corner. That's totally reasonable. It really, what yesterday brought out, and there's nothing bad about this either. It's right. The perspective is called for. Yesterday brought out, okay, look, how many years has it been? How many times have we kind of learned the same lesson? How many new research projects do we need to see about the importance of the wide receiver position versus run stuffer? How much more of this do we need to go through before the Bills act accordingly? And even if they have good receivers, which even that right now is debatable, even if they scored 30 points a game, certainly also a debatable thing. Even if the draft isn't long for receivers, still, you pick Burden, right? You do that. Or you pick Jalen Royals in the third round or whoever you liked.
Yeah.
That argument is being made, and it is in the big picture with all the times. That's, I think, the most telling data or take of the whole thing is all this many years, even with totally reasonable points made about what they needed on defense, you have an organization that has poured money into the defensive line. And what have they gotten out of it? Mixed. I mean, to be fair, not terrible, but mixed
results. They're not dominant up there. Far from it. They're all right. Like they've had some very highly rated defenses as part of that. But you know, yeah, I can understand their desire to remake the depth chart there. You know, on the back end as well as up front. It's really more about it's not even so much. I think, you know. Because I also think, who did you want them to pick is a good question, right? Because for me, it's just, I don't know, just someone. Right? Just try someone. I don't know, the Utah State guy in the fourth. Try someone that has a chance to maybe be, to add to what you've got here. Because they're just, I don't think they've had enough there. And that's it. So it's more like a Euro.
Question for our listeners. Which automaker assembles the most vehicles in the country? Here's a hint. It's the same one that employs the most hourly workers in the country, and the answer is Ford. That's not a coincidence. It's a commitment. A commitment your local Ford stores share. And that is why Ford is now offering employee pricing across their full lineup of vehicles, which means you pay what they pay. So visit your local Ford stores today to take advantage of this great opportunity. Ford Motor Company. From America for America.
Every morning brings a fresh new energy.
This is Today.
And no matter what the day holds, we come to the Today Show for all of it.
When things are tough, we talk about it. When there's something to figure out, we dig into it. And when there's joy, we celebrate it.
Because today is where it's all happening. We get the best start to every morning. Because we start it together.
Watch the Today Show with Savannah Guthrie and Craig Melvin weekdays at 7 a.m. on NBC.
Over year frustration. Like, I don't leave the desire to get better there at the doorstep of last year or the year before when they drafted Kincaid and then Coleman in back-to-back years with their top pick, because neither of those have had the desired impact yet. And, like, that doesn't mean that their careers are over. I know they're still here, but I got to keep trying until I get, like, if someone I'm going to pick on Saturday is going to take a year to develop anyway, well, let's get the clock running on that. You know, like, I need someone who might have to wait in line for a little while and then get their chance, you know, behind Curtis Samuel or something. And, you know, more than just a practice squad guy. I just don't feel like they've been very active in trying to do that. Like, the pipeline doesn't feel, they've got guys, I know, like, there are guys on the practice squad, but I just don't know how promising any of that is. And so I'm just kind of always looking for another guy, is really all there is to it. So I don't think you should, like, feel like you're all set because you drafted Keon Coleman last year.
And if it comes, like, your point, among your points is, if it comes at the expense of a second defensive tackle or defensive lineman or corner, then so be it.
Right.
That's a small price to pay, it would seem.
Yeah, I think the way I understand what happened yesterday, I know this because Jeremy texted me when we opened our show talking about this, is I think I said I didn't hear the exact run-up to it, but I'm pretty sure they weren't just clobbering Bean and the Bills for not drafting a receiver. Jared told me all he said when they were getting done with Sale that Bean might have been on hold for, but I don't even think that was the case. But the only thing he said was, I want to ask him if they prioritize receiver sort of in kind with the way the league appears to. That's it. And so I don't know, you know, what he was responding to, but it doesn't sound to me here, you know, more than a day later, like it was the show.
Well, it's,
but I don't know.
It's not the whole league. And I don't know if we even need him to answer the question, because we know, especially after yesterday. That's what yesterday was good for, was because he lost his temper. He told you, he made an argument for why he doesn't think they need somebody, as opposed to the usual, well, you can always, you know, improve your football team, that kind of thing. You're always looking. You're looking for anybody. If the guy was there, we would have picked him. He went on to say that later. But when it was raw, he's like, not fantasy football, 30 points a game, winning football, right? We don't care who gets the ball. He even kind of said also, we don't care who the quarterback is. Like, just to sort of accentuate the point about, it's not about who the players are. Well, I mean, sure it is. Because some guys are better than others, and if you had, you know, just if any team, you're going to want to feed your best guys. And the Bills, you know, to whatever extent this is by design or not, they don't have anybody in the passing game that needs to be fed, quote-unquote, right? Like Diggs was. Diggs, I'm already feeling exhausted by just from a few minutes of this today, but, you know, as we know, Diggs was very successful, but not so successful at the end of the season and in the playoffs, you know, enough times, which I think might have made it easier for them to divorce him, to get a divorce with him. That was a lot of off the field too, and just personality conflicts.
Well, sure, but if he'd been coming off a game where he looked like he was at the height of his powers or something, that might have been harder. Like, if the end of the season had gone differently, but we know how it went. And so there was enough support that I think they felt like we can do this and keep moving. You know, what I didn't anticipate is that they would like not suffer from it at all. They really didn't. And that is a part of Bean's point. And like, he's got that there is scoreboard there, you know, and I respect that. I just, my question is, can you expect to continue to live that way? And you know, I guess we'll find out. And then we'll find out if October comes and they realize, hey, you know what? We got to do this thing again where we go trade for a guy. Because that is, again, that's a part of what told me they still have an opening, is that they haven't really replaced the guy they lost. They went out and got last October.
One thing I said yesterday was what you, I think, had in his comments is almost what qualifies as a promise that they're not looking to add anybody else. If they get into the season and or there's an injury and circumstances change, then it's not like they wouldn't be allowed to do it. But he's clear that he's not looking to do it.
Right. If you know, we're sitting in here one day and something reignites the conversation about Brandon Ayuk and the 49ers or something.
We can't play in that sandbox.
We are not, you know, at the top of the list there in the betting odds, I don't think. At least I wouldn't expect that we would be. And I just wouldn't take it seriously at all, because I agree. I think once the season gets here, then it's different. Because we were talking the same way last fall, early before they made the Cooper trade. Everybody eats. Can they really make a trade for a receiver? It looks like you're turning your back on, you know, what the plan was. But they got over that and made the move because they thought they needed to make a move. So the same thing could happen. I'm not rooting for that. I mean, I hope this all works. I hope Josh Palmer turns out to be like a suitable Amari Cooper replacement. Maybe he will be. I don't know what in his career would tell you that to this point, but that doesn't mean it still couldn't happen.
I think what you got to hope for with Palmer is, because of the kind of receiver he is, which is, this is a good thing, and it helps – it sort of makes the signing make sense, is the separation piece. And, you know, if it's deep routes, even better, because those are game-changing plays. There's just not going to be a lot of it. I don't think there's any real chance with Palmer that it's, you know, five catches a week or anything like that. What is that, 80, 85 catches? I'd be shocked if we get even close to that. But all of this, and I think we'll probably get back to this maybe many times, whether it's receiver or pass rush, any particular thing, it really is about the playoffs and the fourth quarter of a close game, and do you have a guy that you can trust? And again, that can be offense or defense, because they will be in the playoffs. It would be a catastrophe if they were not. The division appears to be terrible. You're playing for January. And so, do you have somebody, in terms of receiver, do you have somebody that you would want to throw the ball to, that you know you would want to throw the ball to on a critical play in the playoffs? Is that Shakir? Is that good enough? I mean, I think that I don't like it that way, because it's a long season and you never know what's going to happen. But I kind of do think this team is in a position where, and so is Kansas City and a couple other teams, where really you can think about it that way, I believe. Sal coming up at 4. Mike Schopen, the Bulldog here, WGR.